We're good.
Want to go potty?
All right. Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us. At 2:59, we'll call this meeting to order for the IHLS Advocacy Committee. We'll do a quick roll call. I'm here.
Sure.
Matt, I can do it all.
Yeah, here.
Christy?
Here.
Emily?
Here.
Leslie's not here. Ellen?
Here.
And Carol,
Here.
thank you for joining us, everyone. Okay, Ellen, do we have any public comment?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, perfect. So we've got minutes from way back in February of 2024. Those were attached. We need a motion and a second to approve those minutes, please.
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Christy.
I will second.
Thank you, Emily. We have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? All right, all those in favor? Oh, can we do that? Do we have to do a roll call? Hello.
I do a roll
Roll
call just for
call.
the heck of
Roll
it.
call.
Okay,
Yeah.
thank you. Myself, I, Matt,
Aye.
Christy,
Yes.
Emily.
Yes.
Great, thank you. Okay, we didn't have any unfinished business, so that moves us to new business. Everything we're talking about today kind of runs together. So we're talking about the committee charge, what we want this committee to look like, what we want it to do, how that ties into the new strategic plan, and then ultimately, when that committee wants to meet and how all that takes shape. So Ellen, you and I had a phone conversation earlier today, and you'd also been talking to Leslie about this. So would you mind just kind of filling everyone in with our
No,
current lay of the land?
not a bit. And I said, and I'm sorry it was late. I did send you a little bit of background information this morning. This is a committee that has long kind of struggled to find its footing. So when it started a long time ago, we had no marketing and communications department, and this group started to do like stakeholder speeches and we're going to reach out to audiences and who are our stakeholders and what are our elevator speeches. And it was a very diverse group of people who all had different ideas. So that kind of floundered. At that point in time, there was a real push to make sure we were advocating for our schools because at this point in time, we were starting to see massive school library cuts and things like that. So that work began, and then the partnership meeting that continues to this day that ha is held monthly with representatives from both library systems, from the Illinois Library System, and for the Association of Illinois School Libraries Educators began to happen. And there was a lot of collaboration statewide, a lot of information statewide. So on a monthly basis, everybody knew what page everybody else was on, which was extremely helpful. And so then this committee started sort of to be the receptacle of what's going on updates every month. So there would be a report from the partnership group, a report from the public policy committee from ILA. When the legislative meetups were going on, that was all part of it. And then it morphed one more time once we started having challenges to intellectual freedom, whether it was in programming in libraries or whether it was to materials in libraries. And so you can see from the last minutes that the minutes from last February reflect our interaction with what was going on with the challenges the Metropolis Public Library was having as far as supporting the governor's legislation on book banning. So it's a great time for this committee to start to think about where you would like to go, and especially in light of the creation of a new strategic plan. So part of what Leslie and Ryan and I have talked about is to take the next couple of months and kind of share with you what's going on statewide as far as advocacy. And if any of you've learned looked at the learning report, you know that the learning report that was shared with the board has advocacy written all through it. in all its different components, you know, whether it's reaching out to those stakeholders or whether it's being a bigger presence in champion intellectual freedom, you know, it's advocacy writ large. So the thought was that maybe we take the next couple of months and make sure that we bring to this committee opportunities to learn about what's being done in advocacy, learn about the rapid response team, learn about what ILE is doing as far as advocating for school libraries, things like that. So you know kind of the advocacy environment. And then once the strategic plan is laid out, and once you've seen the priorities that kind of have risen to the top as far as advocacy, then you can really make a direction for this committee and move it forward. And really, when you think about it, if you as a board look at that strategic plan in December, it's not going to be too long before you're going to be in a position to do that. So that's kind of it in a nutshell.
Thanks, Ellen. Anyone have any questions or comments at this point concerning that process? Okay, great. So yes, Ellen, we'll continue with that course as laid out and look forward to making some adjustments following the rollout of the strategic plan.
Okay.
Great, thank you for that again. So that brings us to the updates, and you have several interesting ones on there. So feel free to jump in wherever you want.
Or if you have questions about any of them, Carol and Ryan and I can fill you in on what we know. I can tell you that two of those libraries are our libraries, IHLS libraries, and that is the Mississippi Valley Public Library District and Carrollton High School. I think both library systems and ILA and the Association for Illinois School Library Educators, as well as Carly, have supported this statement that Carly has developed and put on their website as far as academic libraries and the need for academic libraries. Ryan, what else should we add to this discussion?
Yeah, well, I want to ask a question. I want to ask a question for the group here. And I'm sorry if this comes across as awkward or inappropriate, but looking at that YouTube clip of the board member from Collinsville, what exactly did she do wrong in encouraging her fellow churchgoers to attend and report public comment? I know we all disagree with her viewpoints and her sentiment, but from a rules as written, was there a violation there?
Hey, Ryan, I'm sorry. I have a question. What are you guys talking about? I don't see anything on the agenda about a YouTube clip. I didn't get an email from Ellen. So
you didn't get an email from Stacy this morning?
I don't think so.
Stacy Bashong said additional comments. I can send it to you right now, Emily.
But even in the morning, I teach all day, guys, so I can't.
Yeah.
Okay, so I don't know what you're referencing. I'm sorry.
Nope, no sweat. So a Collinsville board member attended her church a couple weeks ago and said some pretty inflammatory things about the LGBTQ community. She was encouraging her fellow church members to show up at the library board meeting and present public comment along those lines.
So it was a library trustee?
Correct.
It was the board president too.
Correct.
Yeah, I just as a comment, I again, you may agree or disagree with what she did, but how she did it, I can find nothing wrong with a board member going to their constituents and saying participate in the process. I mean, well, ideally, I mean, I in my community, I tell people, hey, come to the board meetings all the time. I don't say come to the board meetings to do X, Y, and Z. I just say come to the board meetings. But I don't see anything wrong with what she did.
Carol, you want to say something?
Well, I mean, the thing that sticks out to me, and I don't know if it's a violation of a rule as written, but she knows that her library can't ban books based on doctrinal or like personal beliefs. And that was the reasoning that she brought. It wasn't, I mean, it was about that. And she wanted them to come and speak about that, putting pressure on the library to do a thing that it's not allowed to do because of the grant money it receives.
Isn't that an ethical violation, like the duty to the organization?
That's my reaction, Christy.
I just honestly, I have no as a library trustee, I don't know any document that says I have any ethical responsibility to do anything beyond the general, you know, you can't take funds and things like that. But being an advocate for a library, I don't see anything written that says I have to do that as a trustee. And even if a trustee advocates for something that the library can't do, the library can do it. They can do it. They're going to risk losing their grant. But a library board president or board member to go to their community and advocate for something, I don't see how I would have more problems with saying that she can't do that than she can do that.
See, and to me, it's, and I can't remember if it's the ethics of duty or ethics of loyalty, that as a trustee, that you are loyal to the mission statement and the vision statement and the policies of the organization that you are there to represent. And so if the library does not represent those, then you as a trustee have a duty to be faithful to that.
Where is that written?
Christy, thank you for saying. Can I speak, Ryan? Do you mind?
Christy, thank you. That was very well laid out.
I think I know exactly what you're referring to, Christy. And I think it's something that Amanda Standifer has used a lot in her trustee trainings. And I think she talked, is it like four pillars of care?
Mm-hmm.
I will get those and I can send those to the committee, because that was my initial response, that she has a duty to the library and certainly a duty to represent the library in a supportive way. And that didn't happen when she went to that church.
I just wonder how many different ways our member libraries swear in board members or don't swear in board members. And if, you know, to Matt's point, is that something that's even brought up in some of these places?
I mean, I can offer my experience. There is no swearing in, there's nothing. And it would kind of depend on whether you're appointed or elected. I mean, if you're appointed, obviously the mayor, in our case in Effingham, working with the city commission, could remove any trustee. But if you're elected, and what if you're elected? What if that is your goal when you're elected? You win an election and say, I want my library to ban books, and I don't care whether we're going to lose a state grant or anything like that. Vote for me. And if you win, I guess I just have a I don't know, a different perspective on this. Maybe not be the, I completely understand the four duty. I understand that as a trustee of the Illinois Heartland Library System, it's very different, right? Because I looked at ethical guidelines and those kinds of things. I believe I signed that document at the very first meeting, but nothing like that happened, at least in my library, as a trustee of my local library.
So maybe that's a good opportunity, either from the systems or from ILA, to get some sort of boilerplate swearing in process or signed statement, you know, code of ethics, code of conduct, something like that for new board members.
And I think some of that is covered in the iLead portal.
Gotcha. Okay. Emily, did you get those documents?
I haven't sent them to her yet.
Oh, okay.
I refreshed my email. I never got them.
Okay. And it's a lot, to go through all at once too.
But FYI, and I know things come up later, at least 24 hours. You got to give me a little time too, because I wouldn't have even been able to look at them today.
Sure. Emily, that was my bad for getting the material together late.
Thank you.
Would that be something that Greg at the State Library or the Secretary of State could look into?
They are, Christy. And Greg has had conversations with that particular library director.
Well, I mean, just in general, like what we were talking about having a boilerplate, like oaths that library trustees need to sign, some sort of like required training.
There is an oath of office. There is an oath of office that they take. Whether libraries use it or not, you know, and I'd have to dig Matt into the difference between a municipal library and a district library as far as what that requirement is.
Having that, I mean, it's good that we have that. Maybe communicating that out more is something we can do, and really encouraging our directors, be it through Directors University or through some other avenue, to make sure that is part of the onboarding process. Our people go through the appointment process, and then at their first library board meeting, the board president swears them in. I think there's probably room to do both.
And we have dropped as many hints as we can with our colleagues at the State Library to encourage them to push the trustee training portal wherever they can, because, you know, trustees moving through those modules would be a good way for people to learn.
Okay, for those of you who had the chance to look at those documents ahead of time, any other topic you want to touch on? There was a situation at WIU where they're laying off their entire professional library staff. Carly, the academic library group, has drafted a letter. ILA has signed on to that. I understand the systems will be signing on to that as well to show support. We had a similar situation at Columbia College in Chicago, where they basically gutted their library department. And then that book banning in Carrollton. Ellen, do you have any other details on that Carrollton situation?
Not that I was able to find, and I don't think Leah Gregory has been able to unearth any more from the school situation. And Emily, just because it is school, one of the local legislators there spoke out against the inclusion of the absolutely true diary of a part-time Indian. And that was not objecting to it in the library collection. It was objecting to it in, I think, a reading list that was part of the English curriculum.
Yeah.
I'm so amazed that libraries have these. Effingham, Illinois, one of the most conservative parts of the state. And we rarely, and we as a board, we are totally committed against any type of censorship. I mean, completely. But we haven't, we have never had a formal challenge. We sometimes, a lot of times what happens, it's a misshelving of something, or something's in the children's section. And that's taken care of easily, quickly, and everybody knows it. But it's just amazing to me that I keep waiting for that to drop, but it just doesn't happen.
Well, anything else anyone wants to talk about at this point? Or Ellen, any last
things? Do you want to talk about the Northbrook situation?
Sure. Yeah. Go ahead. I read the article you included. It was a little sparse on details.
Right. This was something that came up actually at the PPC meeting on Monday, and that was that the Northbrook Public Library has a room rental facility or a room rental policy. An agency rented the room to show a movie called, I believe it was a film, a documentary called Israelism. And the gist of this movie is two Israeli boys discover that in the conflict between Israel and Palestine, there is no white and black. There is a lot of gray. And mistakes have been made on both sides. People have been violent on both sides, all that kind of thing. Evidently, the library got 8,000 emails protesting the showing of this film. The library did a lot of work with local law enforcement. Local law enforcement said, you know, they could protect outside, but they couldn't protect inside. So the library said to the people who were doing the renting, we're going to need extra security, and you're going to have to pay for this extra security. The security was prohibitively expensive, so they canceled the showing and they pulled out. And so there's been a lot of pushback as far as this, is this a violation of the First Amendment rights if this can't happen? So again, it's just, I think, you know, everything that has happened as far as intellectual freedom just shows you the breadth of what can happen out there.
Yeah, we've got something similar going on here. We have a Middle East peace group that meets once a month, and they are, what's the right word here? Skewed pro-Palestine. But we continue to let them meet because we have a meeting room, their program falls within our policy, all of that stuff. And, you know, every now and then we get a couple ruffled feathers from community folks or from board members who are concerned about the program. But yeah, you're walking that fine line because you don't want to turn them away necessarily, because then you have fallout on that side. But the security concerns, I think, is really what, from my point of view, gives Northbrook a leg to stand on, saying we cannot justifiably continue with this because of the security issues.
Actually just I forget that one of the universities, it might have been Arizona State, exact same thing, court case, and the exact same, too much money for security, and the courts ruled against the university. That was just, I think that was just today. I just read that, maybe the Chronicle, I don't know. Those are hard decisions.
Okay, anyone else want to comment on anything or bring anything up before we call it a day?
Does this day and time work for you? I think
it works for me, Emily.
Okay.
Emily, you probably have the hardest schedule.
3:30 would be better. Sometimes I'm teaching, but if that doesn't work for everybody else, that's okay. I can usually make it work.
I can do 3:30.
Yeah, 3:30 works for me.
Okay, that'd be great.
Okay.
Ellen, did you want me to share some of the things that I've been working on for advocacy?
If you like, yeah.
Go for it.
Okay. So some of these are kind of small things. Other things are stuff that's been in development for a while. If it's okay, I thought I might screen share. Okay, one sec. I have to reacclimate because I'm used to doing it on Teams. So So the first thing is one of those that I said has been in the works for a long time. This is a flyer that we're going to be giving out at ILA. It's for our marketing micro grant. It's really aimed at, it's for all library types, but it is aimed at libraries that have smaller marketing outreach budgets. And so we have we're going to offer up to $600 for one. Basically, it could be one award of $600, or it could be like $200-$300 awards or what have you, but that we have. And the library will propose a project, and in the application, which it'll close on December 31st, and we will announce the winner or winners at Member Day. This QR code goes to a page that's not yet published because I'm still working on it, right up to the wire. And so the way we've been funding this, or trying to fund this, you may have seen this at Member Day or elsewhere in our newsletter or something. This is the IHLS store. These are designs that we have made. It also includes the Member Day graphic and our logos. But the Freedom and Library Love is a big one too, because it's also got kind of an advocacy element to it. A little more passive because it's just people wearing shirts. Not just shirts, it's other things too. But people purchase, and the proceeds go to building up that micro grant. We have gotten together from this store and an earlier iteration of it up about $1,000. And so we figured that initial micro grant would leave enough that we could continue growing it in time to be certain we'll have enough next year to do a decent micro grant. Also, these are two new designs, as you can see. This one I put together because of the stuff that's been going on with, you know, WIU and similar academic libraries, just a nice little academic library advocacy piece. We have one for public libraries as well and school libraries. We have Support Your Library, and my work partner Shandy is working on a Support Illinois Libraries one. And then other just fun things. This one, we got one of these shirts for the Secretary of State, and we will be giving it to him at ILA to thank him because he's done so much, and he really is focus on the fact that, you know, being free to read means being free to parent, make your parenting choices for yourself. So we're very excited about that. And this is another thing that is, I've been working on off and on for a few years now, just in spare time, but it is a ROI piece for public libraries. We're gonna try to work on one for our school libraries as well, possibly using Slate data, but we have, you know, what's in the collection or what you can access from with your library card. This is actually the average per capita cost in taxes for our libraries, per resident. And some other averages too. We're working on making this into something that'll be printable. This is much too long and skinny in this infographic format. So that's why you won't see it for a little bit. That, and we're gonna work on the school one at the same time. So those are kind of the most visible things, other things that you've seen too, like pages, info, resource guides and the like. Yeah.
Thanks for sharing. That stuff looked really great. I think that ROI piece will be especially useful, especially if people can print it off at their own location and keep it stocked. Thank you. Okay, last call before adjournment. Anyone got anything? All right. Well, thank you all again for your time today and your flexibility in moving the meeting to 3:30 moving forward.
Thank you.
Ellen, thank you for that thorough report. Carol, thank you for the graphics. With no further business, we'll call this adjourned at 3:29. Thanks, everyone. Have a good day.
Thank you.